almost every household has a medicine cabinet of bandages, ointments, and painkillers that we use to treat the physical injuries that we sustain in daily life. Psychological damages such as failure, rejection, or loneliness occur at least as frequently as do physical ones, but we don't know how to treat them so the wounds don't heal. In his new book, Emotional First Aid, Guy Wynn shows us the strategies he uses with patients in his own practice to help heal those psychological wounds so that we can feel better quickly and improve our lives over the long haul. Again, the title of the book is Emotional First Aid, Practical Strategies for Treating Failure, Rejection, Guilt, and Other Everyday Psychological Injuries. Guy Winch, thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it.
And thank you for having me.
Give us a sense of how you came to first aid for our emotions, our emotional first aid.
Well, I did notice, as you said, that when we get physical wounds, which we get all the time, we get cuts and scrapes, or we have muscle sprains, or we get a cold, we all know what to do about them, how to treat them. We all have the awareness that we should treat them, and even our children at very young ages know that they have to do that. But I noticed that when we have psychological wounds, like rejection or failure or brooding and rumination, we not only don't have the awareness that we should treat them, even if we did, we wouldn't know how to go about it. And as a psychologist, I saw in my practice many times that people would come in because 2 months earlier something happened that really affected them, that wounded them, that they never really treated. And now, 2 months down the road, it's gotten much worse. It's really affected them. Now they're depressed. Now their self-esteem is really low. And it occurred to me that, boy, if they treated that when it happened, if they had a few basic strategies they could apply in those kinds of scenarios, they might not be in this situation in the present. And that was kind of inspired me to think about these things and to write the book.
You parse these out and section them off in the book, but what do you believe we need to have in our utility belt, if you will, to have on standby and ready for these emotional injuries?
I think first we need to know that a lot of the times we'll get these kinds of injuries, just as a lot of the times we'll get physical ones, and they'll get better by themselves. But when they don't, when something's really bothering us, when something's really nagging at us, when we're actually feeling really bad about ourselves, when we're really brooding and ruminating about something that we can't get out of our minds, there are things we can do to treat that psychological wound. And there are certain techniques we can use to assess how we're doing and to apply some kind of intervention that will make things get better. So the utility belt for me begins with the awareness of the fact that we have one and that there are certain injuries that once we get them, we can look to the utility belt to try and address.
When you think about these emotional injuries, at what point, I mean, just as in physical injuries, some can be a little scrape and others can be quite harming. So it's harder to diagnose, obviously, with the emotional ones of, without seeing the blood run down your hand, of knowing how severe the injury is.
That's true. I do end, every chapter in the book is actually dedicated to a specific injury, such as rejection or failure or loss or low self-esteem. But at the end of every chapter, I do have a checklist. I do have a section, actually, that talks about when to consult a mental health professional. And, of course, it begins with, if you've applied the treatments in this chapter, but you're not feeling better or you're feeling worse, that might be a time to start, and there are other criteria. But I think that when people are practicing these things on a regular basis, they will gain that awareness because with experience, they'll know this kind of thing happens. I tended to do this. It hurt for a couple of days, but I got over it. Just as when we have a sprain, we might start with an ice pack or with some kind of, bandage around it. But if in 3 or 4 days we're still limping around, we will make an appointment to see the doctor.
As you mentioned, you cover rejection and loneliness and guilt and loss and low self-esteem and failure. You also, and you touched on this, but you also cover rumination, which is perhaps the one that I found most interesting because it's one you don't hear about a lot.
And it's interesting that you don't, because that's a psychological wound that actually impacts us not just psychologically, but also in terms of our thinking and also in terms of our physical health. And to ruminate, just to clarify for people, to ruminate means to brood or to stew over something. It refers to situations in which we experience something upsetting. You know, our boss yelled at us in a meeting, our spouse said something that we found very upsetting, something that's upsetting or angering occurred, and we can't get it out of our minds. We are replaying that scenes in our head over and over again. And the interesting thing about rumination is that the more people tend to do that, the more they tend to replay the scene or otherwise talk about it with friends and call a different friend and relay the story over and over again. You see that a lot of times with people who after breakups, they'll talk about that critical breakup talk and go over it so many times as if there's any new information to be gleaned when there's not. But what happens is that when we tend to do that, doing that, rather than releasing something, rather than giving us insight, or rather than giving us a fresh perspective, actually just makes us more upset and it makes us more angry. And the more we do that, the more compelling the urge to think about that scene is, and the more frequently and the more intensely it will just pop into our heads unbidden. Now, what happens over time is when people have this tendency to ruminate and they keep doing that, it releases so many stress hormones, it actually puts them at risk for cardiovascular disease. And it actually also impacts our thinking. There was one study I talk about in the book in which they looked at women who had a tendency to ruminate versus women who did not, both of which found lumps in their breast. And they found that women who had a tendency to ruminate waited, on average, 2 months longer to make an appointment to see a doctor than women who did not have a tendency to ruminate. So they were so busy stewing and worrying and thinking about it, they didn't take action. And that's part of the danger of rumination. It's a vicious cycle that just keeps drawing us in more and more and more. And the more we're drawn in and the more we're stewing, the less we're acting, the less we're thinking through, the less we're actually moving ahead.
Because we're talking about it, let's use rumination as an example of how these can often overlap, so that rumination could perhaps lead to rejection or failure or low self-esteem.
They very much do overlap, and I think that happens a little bit in the physical realm as well. I mean, you can fall down and you can get a scrape and you're favoring the wound and then you sprain the muscle and then et cetera, et cetera. But here, there are chains that you can, you know, see happening. For example, when we get rejected, we might become very risk-averse and protective of our feelings and not wanting to put ourselves in that situation, which can cause us to really withdraw, which can cause us to ruminate about what happened. And while we're ruminating and we're withdrawing from our rejection, we're actually becoming more lonely because we are not seeing people, we're not going out because we're still licking our wounds. And the ruminating about how we got rejected and how painful that is causes a drop in our self-esteem. So yes, a lot of these things are linked. In all kinds of ways, because psychologically a lot of the constructs that we're talking about here are linked. Obviously, rejection and failure are going to have an impact on your self-esteem, and the more significant they are, the more you're going to tend to brood about them, etc.
And this goes back to an earlier question. I mean, as you stated at the end of the chapters, you do have some signs as to when it's time to seek a mental health professional. But even in a certain amount of rumination, a certain amount of brooding, a certain amount of feeling rejected, I guess it's when it moves away from getting over it quickly, right?
When you see a professional?
Well, yes. No, not even seeing a professional. I mean, that's beyond. But I mean, just in even using these items in our utility belt, as we mentioned earlier, that when it becomes a point where we're not moving on and we aren't getting over it quickly is when we should start to consciously think about what we can do to administer first aid on our emotions.
Yes, absolutely. Now, but there are some exceptions. For example, rumination. Since we know that it's a cycle that tends to get self-reinforcing, since we know that once we start getting ourselves into that cycle, once it starts appearing in our head, once we start thinking of the upsetting or angering episode and indulging that thought, we're likely to think about it more and more and more. Well, once you know that, and once you catch yourself brooding even the first couple of times, and brooding, not thinking through, oh, my boss yelled at me in a meeting, here's what I should do, I can speak to human resources, or I can consult with a colleague, but just replaying the scene over and over again, that's something we don't need to wait around too much for. That's something we should interrupt as soon as possible, because it is a bit like an addiction of sorts, or like a craving we get when we've stopped smoking and we have the craving for nicotine. It'll just get worse the more we indulge it. So that we should take action about very, very quickly. And we should also be aware, I mean, the idea of the utility belt is once you know yourself, once you know that these kinds of rejections or that specific kind of failure really does tend to have an impact on you, really does tend to get to you, then you shouldn't wait around too long, because once you've experienced that in the past, once you've tried the treatments in the chapter to address it and identified the ones that work best for you, why wait around? Apply them as soon as possible. Starting out, maybe less so, but once you're more familiar both with how you tend to get injured psychologically, what are the kinds of situations and contexts which tend to do that to you most, then you can start using these tools in a much more effective way by waiting around when you can and not waiting around when you don't need to.
One of the things that struck me about the book is how you talk about how these treatments are easy to self-administer and even that they can be introduced to children. In other words, get people thinking about this at a very young age so that the problems don't exacerbate as they move into adulthood, as they often do.
And I think that would be the most wonderful thing if that's what happened, not just with this book, but in general with our awareness of our mental health and our emotional well-being. Because I think that children from an extremely young age, they brush their teeth, they know they need to, and they know that they're brushing their teeth because it helps prevent cavities. And they know that when they, you know, a six-year-old will hold up their finger and say, I cut my hand so I have a Band-Aid. In other words, they know that this is so it doesn't get infected. I mean, they know that when certain things happen, you treat them so they don't get worse. We can, and we really should, instill that very same awareness about psychological injuries. There's absolutely no reason children shouldn't be aware that when we get rejected, it really hurts, even if we didn't like that person very much. Because actually, some of the studies I talk about in terms of rejection are fascinating in that when they do a psychological manipulation in these studies and people feel rejected and then they feel very hurt and then they tell these people, actually, the people rejecting you were people you hate or the people weren't really rejecting you, they were just following a script, it doesn't make the hurt go away because that's how hardwired we are with rejection. So explaining these kinds of things to kids, giving them strategies that they themselves can begin to use. You just didn't get invited to the party. I know you're feeling bad, but you know, let's call over a couple of your really good friends and have a play date with them right before the party or tomorrow or right this afternoon to remind you that, yes, there are kids in the class that really like you, that really value you, that really want to play with you, and let that be the focus. Let's actually tend that wound really, really quickly. And if we can teach children that when they have psychological injuries, they should tend to them and do something about them, and they should also learn what's normative and what isn't, that it's natural to feel bad in these situations. It doesn't mean there's anything wrong with you that you feel bad or that you feel sad. Then I think we would have children who are much healthier, psychologically speaking. We could really raise a very different kind of generation of kids who really are much more sophisticated about handling their feelings and taking care of themselves emotionally in a very automatic way, and it's also very empowering for them to have the tools to be able to do it.
Guy Winch holds a doctorate in clinical psychology from New York University and has a private practice in Manhattan. His new book, Emotional First Aid, is published by Hudson Street Press. Guy Winch, thank you very much for spending time with us this morning. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. Again, the title of the book, Emotional First Aid, published by Hudson Street. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.